Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got Trent Green down in the middle of the field.
We will rally around Kurt Warner and we'll play good football.
First and 10 from the 27. Warner back to throw. Rainbows the far sideline. And it is caught by Isaac Bruce. Makes a move to the 30, 25, 20. And they won't catch him today. Touchdown, Rams!
Mike Jones made the tackle. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
25 years ago today, the St. Louis Rams won Super Bowl 34. It was a moment that those of us who were around for it will not forget forever, because it will probably be our only NFL championship ever, unless we get a team again. Oh. You never know. But we thought there's almost nobody better to talk to about this Super Bowl, what it meant for this city, than the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner, who joins us on the guest line this morning. Kurt, it is good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Great to talk to you guys as well.
So happy anniversary to you. And again, 25 years since this happened, and we always do this thing where we look back and we go, oh my God, that was 20 years ago? That was 30 years ago? What? We're doing it today with this. Can't believe that happened 25 years ago.
No, it is amazing. You know, almost half my life ago, but still so many vivid memories of that time and that place and the special team that we had. So I mean, it's always great to look back and celebrate and remember those things. But it is definitely hard to believe that it was 25 years ago.
Yeah, and it's such a big part of our identity here in St. Louis. Obviously, we all know what's happened in the past few years, but it's a personal part of our selfhood here. I know for me, Kurt, we were fortunate enough to go to every one of those games at the Dome. I was 15 years old, and I think things that you experience at that time in your life they loom larger than other experiences. And so with that being, as you mentioned, just 25 years, half your life almost, that moment when Trent Green, he went down, you're stepping in, kind of going back to the beginning of the season, not knowing what was ahead. Where were you in your headspace in that time?
Well, for me, obviously, you know, my journey and story is well documented. So for me, it was, you know, and again, you have dual sides to this thing, because obviously it was a friend of Trent and you never want to see anybody, you know, suffer an injury. And Trent, having had a bit of a journey too to get to that place and finally have his moment, that was devastating from that perspective. But then there's obviously the other side of it where I had been waiting and hoping and trying and just hoping somebody would give me an opportunity at some point to show people what I was capable of. And that was my moment, or at least, you know, I thought this was going to be my moment. You know, I didn't know how long it was going to last. I knew I was going to have to go in and play well early, because, you know, there were a lot of questions about me, which I completely understand. You know, like, you know, at the time, you know, Dick, you know, made the infamous statement, you know, we'll rally around Kurt Warner, we'll play good football. But, you know, there was a part of everybody in the organization, coaches and players alike, that are going, oh, my goodness, who is this guy and what is he capable of? And, you know, can he handle leading this football team? And I understood all that because of my story. But for me, it was, I just wanted that chance. I wanted that opportunity. I fully believed in who I was and what I was capable of. Obviously, that situation was perfect because of great talent around me, but also the mindset of how Mike Martz wanted to play the game really fit how I played the game. So, you know, when we talk about a perfect storm, it kind of was a perfect storm for me. Everything played out perfectly in that moment for me to be able to step in and have success. And, you know, it was all of those things and all of those emotions coming to that moment. But then more importantly than that, it was pushing all those emotions out and going, but at the end of the day, it's just football. Like, this is what I do. This is what I've always done. Let's go play some football.
How often do you look back on all of it and think, I can't believe any of that happened?
Yeah, I think when it's your life, you don't really look at it so much that way, saying, well, I can't believe it happened, because it did happen. And I was in the midst of all of it. But I do think we look back and there's a lot of moments where we're just kind of sitting around now and we're going to relive or rethink about this entire journey and how uncharacteristic it was, how different it was, how many moments we had where we wondered, if that would ever happen. So we understand how unlikely the journey was, but when you're in the midst of it, so much is just, you go day to day and you handle this day, looking forward to the next one and the next one. And I've been extremely blessed. I actually tweeted this morning, in reference to all of this and the 25th anniversary, that there was a long time in my journey where I didn't want my journey. I didn't want to be the guy sitting on the bench or working in a grocery store or playing arena football and all this stuff. I wanted to be drafted and get into the NFL and have a chance from a young, I wanted all of that stuff. But now that you look back on it, you sit back and go, man, I'm so glad that I've got a one of a kind story, that nobody else will ever have this story. So you come to appreciate all of those moments now, and you appreciate all that you kind of went through or the different, turns in the road that you took, because they all shaped me as a person and as a player. No idea if I would have been as good had I come right out of college and got it. Who knows? I mean, you can't look back and worry about any of that stuff. So, there wasn't a lot of that while I was going through it. But now I think we definitely look back and we consider ourselves extremely blessed for the journey we got to take and the story that we got to tell. And, and I'm thankful. I mean, even to this day, I sit back quite often and just go, how incredible is this, that not only did I have, a great 12-year career and have some great successes and go to Super Bowls and all of those things, but I'm still, blessed to work in the business and have the opportunities that I have and cover the sport. And I, get to call the Super Bowl on radio every year. I'm so blessed in so many ways. And, to think back to where I was when I was wondering if an opportunity would ever come and I'd ever get this chance to fulfill my dream. And now this is, so far beyond what I even dreamed, that that I'm grateful for all of it.
We're all in awe of you and your career, but that greatest show on turf, I mean, obviously you, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, these incredible guys. And were there ever moments on the field where you, as the star quarterback, were in awe of some of the catches, like Ricky Prohl, right, to catapult you guys to the Super Bowl? Were you ever like, man, I can't believe I get to throw to these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some of those moments, but at the same time, I think I was around those guys so much that it was commonplace. I expected them to do what they did, and I expected us to do what we did. One thing that I don't think a lot of people, can kind of put in their mind, so I was playing arena football for 3 years before I end up playing in the NFL. And in arena football, we would score 70 points a game. And you were expected to score every time you touched the football. And so when I got to St. Louis, and it was funny because, I would have opposing teams come over and go like, oh my gosh, you guys are like a video game. It's like unbelievable. You're unstoppable. And I remember thinking, why are we punting twice during the game? What is wrong with us that we're punting two times? We need to figure this out. So my mindset was completely different. So when I got there, surrounded by great talent. But I think the expectation in my mind was you're supposed to score every time you touch the football. And, we did that a lot. So it was so much fun. But it was just kind of a continuation of kind of what I believed about football at that point in time in my career. It didn't seem to be odd to me that we were really good and that we were successful and that I played with that wasn't an oddity as it was to so many other people. For me, it was commonplace. As you step right in and you have all these talented players and you have this scheme and you believe you're good. Like, this is what we're supposed to do. And so it wasn't as if we ever stepped back and go like, wow, look what we're doing. No, we expected that every time we stepped on the field.
Okay, Kurt Warner, try to pretend like you weren't part of this team. Just be as objective as possible. Is that still the best offense of all time?
I believe it is, you know, for a couple different reasons. And then first, it starts with the talent that we had on that offense, that collection of offensive talent. I don't know if that's ever been matched. When you look at, if you took the individuals out of, you know, of that situation and just looked at who they were as players, I mean, you know, just all the Hall of Famers and all the incredible players that we had, and even some of the, you know, what you might call a role player. You guys mentioned Ricky Prohl. I mean, the year before we went to the Super Bowl in, you know, so in 98, he was the MVP of our team, you know, and here he is, you know, more of what we call a role player. Than it just speaks to the talent that we had. So I think it starts there. But I think the level of consistency that we had as an offense was second to none. To do what we did for 3 years, to do it so consistently, to do it at a time when, you know, there were a lot of games where, you know, our, you know, that starting group was out in the third quarter, which is so different than the way the game is played now. So numbers, you know, are so skewed now for a lot of different reasons, that to see the consistency in what we accomplished over 3 years, you know, it's just never anything like that has been done before. And then I think you put in the third factor is that the game was different back then. I mean, it was physical. You could grab guys, you could hold guys, you could hit guys over the middle of the field. And so there were so many other aspects that once you understand that, and then you saw how detailed that team was and how good we were with the little things and the nuances of the game, which I'm sure a lot of people don't appreciate, but something that I appreciate, that at that point in time, you had to, you know, I had to be on time with throws and guys had to trust me because if I was late on a throw across the middle, you know, they're getting hit at that time. And it's a different kind of thing. And so the appreciation for those aspects, and kind of the beauty of the way that we played the game, I think is very rare. And you don't see much of that in this NFL, even though the numbers can be gaudy and impressive with a lot of these teams. What we did and how we kind of ushered in this era that you can throw to win, I think you stack all of those things up. And, yeah, I don't know if it will ever be matched, but I definitely believe that that was the greatest period of time for any offense. And, again, I say in the history of the league, I have no idea, you know, 20 years before me. I don't, you know, I can't go back that far. But from what I remember growing up in this game and then obviously everything that I've covered since, I believe it's the greatest offense that we've seen.
All right, last thing before we let you go. As you said, you're on the call of the Super Bowl for Westwood One. It's the Chiefs and Eagles. What do you think?
Man, I think it's going to be a great football game. And I think on paper, I continue to lean towards the Eagles. I think they have the better roster top to bottom. I guess more names top to bottom than the Chiefs have. And so there's so many things that, you know, make you lean in that direction. But you've got the ultimate, you know, X factors in I think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, that every time you want to say, well, they're not as talented or they don't do this well enough, they just find ways. And so you have to believe this is going to be a great football game. It's going to come down to the end. And which team outlasts the other team? You know, when these guys played 2 years ago, it was back and forth. And the Eagles scored with a couple minutes to go to tie the thing up. And then, of course, Patrick has the ball last and drives them down. They kick a field goal and they win the game. And so I believe it's going to be very much like that again, even though I feel like the better roster is on the Eagles sideline. We've just never seen, you know, any group, you know, of guys and any quarterback quite as masterful in the moment. Well, I guess we could maybe say Tom Brady's been great in the moment, what made him so special. But nobody since then that we've seen that's so masterful in the moment as Patrick Mahomes. And so I have to believe that they're going to find a way to keep it close. And then we'll see how it plays out in the end.
Kurt, thank you for your time today. Again, happy anniversary to you. Enjoy the Super Bowl coming up in about a week and a half, and we'd love to talk again soon.
All right. Sounds great. Take care, guys.